Hello, and welcome to this impromptu edition of When Belief Dies. It's Christmas 2022. I've been given some books for Christmas, and then there was actually a book that I wanted to get. So I put all those books aside, I jumped onto Amazon, and I ordered this book, and it arrived a few days ago. So it's Anthem by Ayn Rand. I've actually read a few pieces of work from Ayn Rand before, so I actually started with her well-known Atlas Shrugged, and then moved on to Fountainhead, and then I read obviously this book just now, Anthem, and then there's another book which she released called We the Living. She actually published them in the reverse order, the order that I'm reading it in, so it was We the Living, Anthem, Fountainhead, and then Atlas Shrugged. But it's been really interesting actually kind of working through her works from the most well-known, oldest, kind of latest release in her life, all the way back. And you know, I'll be reading her kind of original work, We the Living, hopefully in the next few weeks, and I'll try and get a review out for that as well when I can. This book itself is all about a dystopian future where some big cataclysmic event has taken place. Humanity's been forced to congregate into different sorts of groups, and it seems that the idea of the individual has been lost. It's much more of a sort of socialist or communist or collective atmosphere. So the idea of saying I isn't a thing anymore. People talk about themselves as a we, because the individual is of no importance. The whole purpose of man is to strive and serve the brothers, that the rest of humanity. We are a collective, trying to go about our daily lives to bring about the most good. It's a really interesting concept. So Ayn Rand herself was, originally known as Alice O'Connor. So Ayn Rand is the pen name that she uses. She's a Russian-American author, kind of born in 1905 in Russia, moved to America in 1926, and then died in 1982. This book itself, Anthem, was actually published in 1938 here in the UK. It took a little bit more time for it to be published in America. There was a bit more sort of resistance and hostility towards anti-communist ideas at that time. Obviously, America was going through a big change. This is obviously pre the war, and obviously when she originally published it, it was going to be kind of the end of the Second World War when it was finally allowed to kind of come about. So it's just really interesting kind of trying to picture the time and place in your head as you're reading a book like this, and understanding the author who's come from Russia, moved to the States, has seen the sort of kind of ways that Russia's going with the socialism, and has also seen how America has begun to respond to the ideas of socialism. And her work essentially is trying to strive to push against this sort of socialistic, collectivistic ideology that she saw to be quite invasive and negative and anti-man. So I'm going to read a few quotes from this book, because I think it's really interesting just to kind of hear the author's own words. I'm not going to try and spoil it too much. Like, it is a very, very short novel. Like, you can see it's about 105 pages. Only took me a few hours to kind of just go through it slowly but surely. I find it to be quite moving and quite challenging. I know a lot of people are quite resistant to Ayn Rand. She seems to kind of either be like Marmite, which I think you have in the States, but I don't know. Essentially, you either love it or you hate it. So let me read the first quote, and we can have a quick conversation about that in a sec. Our body is betraying us, for the council of the home looks with suspicion upon us. It is not good to feel too much joy, nor to be glad that our body lives, for we matter not, and it must not matter to us whether we live or die, which is to be as our brothers will it. We, equality 7-2-5-2-1, are glad to be living. If this is a vice, then we wish no virtue. Yet our brothers are not like us. All is not well with our brothers. There are fraternity 2-5-5-0-3, a quiet boy, wise, with kind eyes, who cry suddenly, without reason, in the midst of the day or night, and their body shakes with sobs they cannot explain. There are solidarity 9-6-3-4, who are a bright youth, without fear in the day, but they scream in their sleep, and they scream, help us, help us, help us, into the night, in a voice which chills our bones. But the doctors cannot cure solidarity 9-6-3-4-7. Now, some of the wording I messed up there, but it's also written in such a strange way to not be kind of alluding to the word I and talking about others and not trying to be individualistic when talking about an other individual. I found it quite fascinating, like the complete switch of character and perspective that gives you. You're almost trying to it's almost like reading Shakespeare, right? You're trying to deal with language. It just doesn't quite click. So you're kind of trying to work out how does this flow together? And the fact they don't have identifiable names, like the sort of main protagonist is Equality 72521, refers to themselves as we. It's really interesting and quite, I guess, moving. You can imagine this sort of world where something's happened, you're just kind of born and you're instantly forced into some sort of educational system, which is, you know, kind of a commune. You don't know who your parents are. You're just another member of the Brotherhood, as they refer to themselves, this group. And you are then given a job, you're tasked with doing X, Y, or Z, and then you're pushed away. And this book really is all around the discovery of I. It's quite moving. Let me read you another passage from the book itself. There is some word, one single word, which is not in the language of men, but which had been. And this is the unspeakable word, which no men may speak nor hear. But sometimes, and it is rare, sometimes somewhere, one among men find that word. They find it upon scraps of old manuscripts, or cut into the fragments of ancient stones. But when they speak it, they are put to death. There is no crime punished by death in this world, save this one crime of speaking the unspeakable word. We have seen one of such men burned alive in the square of the city, and it was a sight which has stayed with us through the years, and it haunts us and follows us and gives us no rest. We were a child then, 10 years old, and we stood in the great square with all children and with all the men of the city, sent to behold the burning. They brought the transgressor out into the square, and they led him to the pyre. They had torn out his tongue, the tongue of the transgressor, so that they could no longer speak. The transgressor were young and tall. They had hair of gold and eyes of blue as morning. They walked to the pyre, and their step did not falter. And of all the faces on that square, of all the faces which shrieked and screamed and spat curses upon them, theirs was the calmest and the happiest face. Again, it's quite interesting language as she continues to try and have this protagonist thinking about others in the collective. I found that quite moving. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the scene within the Brothers Karamazov, where you see the sort of figure of Jesus coming, and this sort of cardinal figure who's been burning the victims, and this sort of ancient sort of medieval kind of like witch burning, hunting, killing, murdering sort of idea, kind of almost like a religious act against, but it's not religious, it's almost religious, but it's not. It's a fascinating picture that Ayn Rand casts here, and the idea that there's this little boy watching this horror take place as this individual is being brought forwards and going to their death, as you know someone would speak about a traditional Christian martyr. It's fascinating. So I found this book to be challenging to myself. I think we live in a very sort of leftist society, which is absolutely fine. I have no issue with that, but it's just helpful now and then to have our own biases and our own thoughts and our own ideas just checked time and time again to make sure that we aren't going down roads which lead to somewhere that we just don't want to go. Like, we think we are going in one direction, actually we sometimes need those sort of loud voices to snap us back to focus in the other direction. I think that it's really interesting as well trying to view Ayn Rand's philosophy against religious theology and kind of seeing the two. So she's very much of her philosophy's objectivism, so it's all about the individual, what they see is worthwhile, and not giving up their soul or their personal, their freedom or their choices to satisfy another, but actually if you can fulfill yourself the most thoroughly without hurting others, but actually kind of living into the fullness and giving your best into the thing you most care about, then actually that really helps and blesses the rest of people as they go about their life. And obviously something like Christianity would be looking at this from a very different lens. I kind of often wonder whether she's writing against a sort of communist society like Russia at the time, or she's also writing against a very Christian America and trying to almost wake them up to the sort of socialistic ways that Christianity can sometimes prevail within society. It was a great book. I mean, it's very thin, 105 pages in total. This is the Penguin edition, Modern Classics. I found it really good, really easy to read, really nice little edition. In actual fact, I'm going to be offering this up to one of you guys, one of my listeners or viewers. So if you subscribe and sign up on Patreon to support me with a monthly gift, whoever does that basically in the next 30 days from the day that this video goes live, for the next 30 days, once you've subscribed on Patreon to support me monthly, if you throw me a message just with the word Anthem, just at me in the DMs on Patreon, write the word Anthem, and whoever does that basically after 30 days, I'll put all your names into a hat, I'll pull the names out, and whoever name I get, I will be sending you this edition of Anthem by Ayn Rand. If you're in the UK, shipping's on me. If you're elsewhere in the States, I'll let you know how much shipping is and we can figure that one out. But yeah, if you're happy to support me on Patreon and you want to get an edition of this book, I'm more than happy to send this over to the person that signs up, DMs me, Anthem. And if there's more than one of you, which I doubt, but if there is, then I'll pick one person out of the lot. And I'll let you know if you've won and send you over a copy of this book. I thought it'd be cool to kind of close with a final quote from Ayn Rand and her book Anthem. Before I do, just to say, if you're new to When Belief Dies, make sure you hit subscribe and then the bell icon. You'll be reminded whenever we release a video. I'm going to be doing more book reviews in the future, so the next one I'm going to do is actually going to be on The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis. But I'd love to hear from you, like, what other books would you like me to read, to give you a bit of a synopsis of, to go into a little bit of why I found it challenging or interesting or engaging. So drop those in the comments. If you're listening, head over to YouTube, find this video and comment on it there. And if you're on YouTube, let me know what book you'd like me to read. Something longer than that is absolutely fine, but anything absolutely massive, it might be a bit of a struggle at the moment. I'm actually trying to slowly work through Dostoevsky's works, so you might see a few Dostoevsky book reviews coming up in the near future. Anyway, enough of that. Thank you so much for watching, and let's close with one final quote. I am, I think, I will. My hands, my spirit, my sky, my forest, this earth of mine. What must I say besides? These are the words. This is the answer. I stand here on the summit of the mountain. I lift my head and I spread my arms. This is my body and spirit. This is the end of the quest. I wished to know the meaning of things. I am the meaning. I wish to find a warrant for being. I need no warrant for being. And no word of sanction upon my being. I am the warrant and the sanction. It is my eyes which see, and the sight of my eyes grants beauty to the earth. It is my ears which hear, and the hearing of my ears gives its song to the world. It is my mind which thinks, and the judgment of my mind is the only searchlight that can find the truth. It is my will which chooses, and the choice of my will is the only edict I must respect. Many words have been granted me, and some are wise and some are false, but only three are holy. I will it. Thanks for watching. Take care. Cheers.